Happy Hemp CBD gummies are a great way to get your daily dose of CBD in both a convenient and a discreet manner. They're available in peach rings, gummy cherries, sour gummy bears, rainbow ribbons. They've got all the flavors that you would ever want. They've even got sugar-free and vegetarian options for you. It's a great product. Get Happy Hemp is the product. Make sure you shop them today. Just go to the link in the scroll on the bottom and you can save yourself a little bit of money and get the CBD gummies that you need and deserve. Get them today.
Classic Metal Show right here on your Classic Metal Show. And that is Dokken from Unchain the Night Under Lock and Key. And just before that, we heard Great White from their Let It Rock release. And this is Neely along with my very good friend, Chris Aiken, ready to let it rock. What is going on, Chris?
What is up, sir? How we doing, man?
I'm good.
Good, good.
Yeah, just returned from... 2 day of debauchery and silliness.
Nice.
I was out and about Thursday night, Friday night, and I just got back this afternoon from a little road trip to hang out with our good friend Don Dokken and Jack Russell, as well as the guys from Firehouse. And George Lynch.
Very nice.
So everybody's kind of blowing the dust off and trying to get back into the groove and get back out on the concert scene.
Well, that's good. Everybody getting out, making some money again after a year and a half of sitting at home. That's good.
Yeah. Well, it was nice to be able to get out and see people doing normal things again without the fear of the Rona getting them. And basically going mask free.
Oh, that's good. So no masks?
I didn't see. Well, I saw some masks, but let's just put it this way. It was like one out of 50.
Good, as it should be.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, yeah, I just got back this afternoon from Bettendorf, Iowa, which is basically in the what they call the Quad Cities at the border of Illinois and Iowa, right along the Mississippi River.
Right.
So I took a little trip over there Friday evening, or rather Thursday evening, which kind of started a 2 day adventure.
Right. Yeah, I know, because I texted you about something. You were like, I'm at O'Hare. I'm picking up John.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I will get into this and tell the whole saga because, of course, anytime it involves Dokken, there are twists and turns that are unexpected and sure. Are sure to go wrong.
Absolutely.
So a couple of weeks ago, Don's girlfriend texts me and she says, hey, Dokken just booked a last minute show at in Bettendorf, Iowa, which for me, it was like a 2.5 hour drive.
Okay.
Not that far. She says, do you want to go? I said, yeah, of course I'll go. You know, it's a Friday night. I'll go. I won't miss the show here. Sure. I'll buzz over there, hang out, you know, catch up with some old friends and buzz on back. So, you know, they hooked me up as always. And so 2 weeks go by very quickly and I take the day off on Friday and I decide I'm going to take a ride over there and see what's going on. So, apparently, this arena, over there in, the Quad Cities, they booked this show, you know, it's kind of an 80s show, Dokken, Great White, Firehouse, they all played and George Lynch, made a cameo walk on like he was doing last year before the lockdown.
Sure.
So, I talked to our good friend Taylor and asked her, hey, do you want to go take a ride along? And she goes, yeah, I'll go. Yeah, let's do this thing. So the plan was I was just going to get off of work on Thursday, swing by, pick her up, take a ride over there, and go to the show Friday, you know, not knowing exactly what we were in for. Well, Thursday afternoon, I'm at work, and Don calls me. And he says, hey, we got a little problem. And I was just like, we got a little problem? He goes, well, yeah, actually, John has a problem.
Okay. And
what's the problem? He says, well, John is flying in from L.A. He was supposed to fly into Denver and then catch a connector to Moline, Illinois, which is one of the cities in the Quad City.
Okay.
But they had some kind of an issue in Denver, so they had to route him to Chicago. And now they don't know if they have a flight to connect them to until maybe the next day, if the next day.
Okay.
He goes, so since you're coming this way anyway, can you swing by O'Hare and pick John up on your way over?
And you were like, motherfuck, I got to go into that shithole city.
Well, so I said, well, he goes, maybe you can, hook up with him tomorrow morning and then ride over in the morning. And I said, well, I said, I already had planned on taking a ride over this evening. He goes, well, he doesn't get in till 11. I thought maybe you could start out early, pick him up and be here tomorrow morning. And I said, well, what time does he get in? He says, well, he gets in at 11. He says, but if you can't, you know, if you're coming early and you can't pick him up, I guess that's that. I said, Don, come on now. I said, nothing's set in stone. I said, you know, I'll be glad to help out where I can.
Sure.
Well, you know, if you would pick him up and bring him in, he said that would really solve a whole lot of troubles in trying to find a connecting flight and getting him over there and all that other stuff. Not a problem. So I get off work, pick up Taylor. We head out toward the airport and, you know, go to a place and grab some dinner.
Okay.
And it was just a matter of, you know, wasting like 2 or 3 hours at the most. It wasn't really that long of a wait.
Okay.
So, we head over there, we have some dinner, close by the airport and go over to the airport and just kind of hang out for about an hour and wait. And then, John landed right about 11. And we swung through there, and there he was. So we picked him up. And so, you know, my Camaro, it's not real big.
Right, sure.
Not a lot of passengers room. So John's got his road bag and his guitar. I got my bag. Taylor's got her bag. And we're trying to put everything in my little trunk, you know.
Right.
So John had to basically put his guitar in between the bucket seats. Like between the bucket seats. So Taylor's in the back, John's in the passenger seat, I'm obviously driving, and then the neck of John's guitar is wedged in between us.
Nice.
so we're packed in my little Camaro and buzzing on over there to Bettendorf.
It's like college kids moving to a dorm.
exactly. So of course, you know, John, just as humble as can be, and
sure,
acting like I'm doing him the most hugest favor in the world. You know, dude, I can't tell you how much I thank you for that. Oh, I thank you just for going out of the way, man. I can't tell you. I thank you enough. And I said, John, I was going anyway. It's not a big deal. And of course, I'm glad to have your company and see you, man. I haven't seen you in over a year.
Right.
You know, so he just kind of settled in, and we just took, it was like I said, it was only maybe a 2 hour ride over there from O'Hare.
Okay.
You know, it went pretty quick. It was like 170 miles.
Sure.
Wasn't much. So we didn't get to Bettendorf until like 2:15 in the morning. And by the time we got there, Don had just gotten there maybe an hour ahead of us.
Okay.
And so, you know, everybody got checked in and settled into their room. And then, you know, Don's a night owl.
Right.
A night owl. And so is Jack Russell. So Jack and Don are hanging out.
Okay.
And so I go out there into this hotel that they were staying at is also a hotel casino.
Okay.
So this place, there's a lot of activity going on there, you know, into the wee hours. But here's the stupid thing. It's a casino, but their bar hours are like normal bar hours of any like neighborhood bar. They have last call at 1:30 and they shut down at 2.
And then what, you drink Cokes at the fucking slot machine?
Yeah, apparently so. Jeez. I mean, the casino's open 24/7, but the bar shuts down at 2.
That is the dumbest shit.
I agree. So we were, you know, we went to the bar and they go, oh yeah, it's already been last call. You know, we did last call like a half an hour ago.
Okay.
It's like, so, all right. So there's no bar. So there's no cocktails for us. Right. So we just sort of just hung out and just shot the shit. And, you know, of course people were milling around there and, you know, they recognized Dawn and they recognized Jack and, Taylor went to her room. And so Jack and Don and I just hung out with all these fans and we were up till like 4:30 in the morning, just shooting the shit and just carrying on. And I'm telling you what, Chris, if there was any way of doing it, these two, when they get together and start talking, they are like the Abbott and Costello of comedy or metal, you know, music. Those right. two are the funniest sons of bitches, and they tell stories like just, you know, people always talk about the decade of decadence of the 80s.
Sure.
These guys told these most outrageous stories, you know, because they have a long history together.
Sure.
You know, because Don basically discovered Great White and produced their first record.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, basically got their first record deal, and he's actually played and written some of their songs and things like that. So they go way back.
Okay.
And you know, Don's a few years older than Jack, and so as long as I've known Jack Russell and Don, Jack refers to Don as Pops.
Okay.
Because he basically took him under his wing. Like, I think Jack was maybe in his late teens or his early 20s when Great White started, and Don was like in his late 20s.
Sure.
So he always looks up to him and he always refers to him as Pops, you know.
Nice.
And that's what he calls him all the time. But they were just telling stories about, you know, days gone by and all the bullshit that they used to do and all the just the silliness, you right. know. And it was a lot of fun. And I'm telling you what, every fan that came up and wanted to take a picture and got an autograph and wanted to chat with them, they couldn't have been nicer. Just as cordial as could be.
As long as they didn't show up with their mother.
Yeah, really. Well, there is a mother story in this.
Oh, good.
In this story here. So we hung out and it got to be late. So it was time to call it a night. So we went to bed and, you know, I went to bed and I got up the next day and Taylor was just like, hey, what do you think there's anything to do around here? I said, you know, I don't know. I don't really know anything about this. So we decided to go have some lunch in Des Moines.
Okay.
And so we went across the river and we were checking out the downtown area, which is an old city, you know, but they're doing what a lot of cities are doing now. They're into the whole renewal thing.
Right.
And so we found a place to go have some lunch, and we were just having some lunch and shooting the shit and kind of catching up and, you know, so on and so forth. So we decided to take a walk down in like the historic district.
Sure.
And so we were taking a walk down the city and we come around the corner, and what should be parked there? The Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile.
Nice.
It was sitting out on the street. So I was just like, holy shit, there's the Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile. Now, I don't know if you had the same experience with that as a kid, but that was such an iconic thing.
Oh, yeah.
That it would come visit your city or, you know, your neighborhood or your town. Mm-hmm. And they would do a promotional thing. They would give away like a free hot dog, and right. they would hand out the little Oscar Mayer Wiener whistles. do you remember those?
I do.
Yeah. So we were standing there. The car wasn't manned or anything, was just sitting there. So I got to get some pictures of this thing, you know? So I'm like, I got a few pictures of the Wiener Mobile. And I know it sounds stupid for a grown man to do this, but for me, it was a kid thing, you know? It's like, holy shit, there it is.
Text me over a picture.
Yeah, I will. Let me shoot it over. Picture. Yeah, let me shoot a couple pictures over to you.
I'll put it right up on the screen.
Yeah. So we were just, I was, you know, kind of telling Taylor about, you know, the importance of the Wienermobile. And she thought I was fucking with her. She was like, "Are you're full of shit?" You know, so she was just like, "You know, what is that all about?" And I'm just like, "Well," and I was telling her the whole story about, you know, being a kid and seeing the Wienermobile and getting a wiener whistle and all that other stuff. And she goes, "Oh, come on, you know, that's nobody does that." You know, she thought I wasn't being serious about it,
right?
And
she just thought that you wanted her to blow your wiener whistle.
So while we're standing there taking pictures and stuff, so the guy who is manning the Wienermobile, he comes out and he opens up the Wienermobile to get in there to get something. And so I was telling him, I said, "Dude, this is like awesome. This is like a kid thing for me." And I was explaining to him that I know the history of the Wienermobile. I know when it was started and how it got started and all these other things, you know. It goes, "Yeah, you're absolutely right." He says, "You know your shit, man." I go, "Yeah, you know, it was an iconic thing for me as a kid."
Right.
And so I said, "You wouldn't happen to have any wiener whistles, would you?" And he goes, "Yeah, I got some right here." And he gave both Taylor and I a wiener whistle. So that was just kind of fun, you know. So just seeing that just randomly on the street was just kind of funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I shot a couple pictures over to you so you could put them up there.
I will put one up here and just.
and if you look at the license plate on it, the license plate is a personal license plate. Can you see it in the picture where I'm standing in front of it?
Hold on. I don't have it up yet. Give me a sec. Trying to computer acting a little fucking funky tonight. With that, where's my screenshot here? Let's see. All right, on the screen.
All right.
Wait a minute, not on the screen. I mean, now share it. Share. Screen. Now it'll be on the screen. There it is.
There it is. It's the Wienermobile.
The big bun. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So we were out, it just parked there, you know? So again, I was just kind of, you know, explaining the history of that a little bit and, you know, what a memory as a kid, how excited you were to know that the Wienermobile was coming to town, you know,
right.
A big deal, you know, they had a big promotional campaign.
And what was it doing there? They were just,
he said that they were doing some event, I think on Friday and Saturday there in town.
Right.
And, you know, he just happened to be doing something like up the block and he just had to park it there for the time being.
Nice.
Yeah. Do you got a couple of the other shots?
Let's see. It's such a pain in the dick to get them up, but let me see here. I gotta hold on. To add the photos library. Open. Whoa, that's big.
The big Wienermobile shot. I know. Well, after we saw the Wienermobile, we took a walk down the street, and there was a like a record shop. Book, you know, like a used bookstore, record shop, CD, right. DVDs. Well, that's one of the cool things about one of these older cities that stores like that kind of exist. And we went in there and holy shit, did they have the record albums and DVDs and CDs and books? I mean, this thing was just loaded with media, you know, old media. But if you're a collector of that kind of stuff, or you're looking into books or records and stuff, they had a lot of stuff.
Right.
So we went in there and spent, you know, probably a good hour or more just rummaging through all the books and tapes and albums and stuff. And I was pulling out a bunch of old albums that I hadn't seen in literally years, you know, just reminded me of, some of the 70s stuff, 80s right. stuff, before albums started kind of going out of style. But there was a lot of records in, you know, pretty good condition, mint condition. Right. And so, you know, Taylor picked up like a couple of books and a record and things. You know, I didn't really see anything that I wanted to lug around with me. So, but I did see a bunch of old stuff that I was just like, oh, shit, I haven't seen that album in forever. That's no.
You so, like, yeah, you were like, yeah, this is like a, it was, you thought you were going to lunch, but instead you went to a trip down memory lane.
Yeah, it was. That's really what it was. You know, it started with the Wienermobile, from a kid memory to like a teenage memory of seeing albums and tapes and stuff, you know?
Right.
So that was kind of fun. And so we wrapped up things downtown there and, you know, headed back to, there it is. Here's the Wienermobile.
Sorry. There it is, the Wienermobile.
Yeah, there you are. So, you know, we headed back to the hotel and just kind of hang out for a little bit, you know, before the show, and just kind of catching up with, you know, Chris McCarville and John and everybody at the hotel before the, right. before the show. And, you know, Don, you know, let me know what time that lobby call was. And so we met up at the bar to get a couple of see that the rock and roll podcast. That was a big deal when growing up.
Yeah, it was. It was a big thing.
Yeah, it was huge.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to the bar and had a couple of cocktails before getting on the shuttle over to the arena.
Right. And,
you know, there, I think he said that the tickets sold about, I think it was like 2,500.
Okay. You
know, not bad for like a last minute show that they announced 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
You know, and, people were just out, they were out ready to rock, you know?
Well, that's good.
Well, strangely enough, George Lynch, was not playing with his band, his Electric Freedom is what he's calling it now.
Yeah, the Electric Freedom.
Oof. Yeah. Well, he just came in just to play the last three songs with Dokken.
Really?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, because I saw some video of him in like Pittsburgh, either the night before or the night after. Not Pittsburgh, but somewhere in Pennsylvania, like the night before or after.
Yeah, he was out doing some guitar thing with like Nuno Bettencourt and Tony McAlpine and, you know, all these guitar guys.
Right. Okay.
He was at some, you know, guitar thing.
Right.
And then he came in just to play three songs.
Wow.
So he came in and we were all kind of hanging out in the dressing room and, you know, George came in and, you know, it's really a marked difference from years ago to what it is now, to where he's kind of like, he's pretty mellow now. You know, he used to be kind of, you know, standoffish, maybe a little bit, you know, kind of cold if he didn't know you. But now he's like jovial, friendly George.
He's off the roids.
Apparently so.
I, you know, as much as that's a joke, there might be truth to that.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, when he was bodybuilding, when he was bodybuilder guy, he was pretty much a dick. But now that he's, you know, he's obviously, what's he weigh, 160 pounds?
Yeah, he's pretty lean. He's pretty thin.
I mean, now that he's off the junk, or at least off the weightlifting, I guess we can't say for sure that he was on the roids. But, you know, now that he's not bodybuilding to where his testosterone, you know, is like 3 million.
Yeah.
He's probably, and plus he's old. Let's be honest. He's 65 years old or whatever. That's going to mellow you out all by itself.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I chatted with George a little bit and, you know, just very cordial. He was just like, yeah, just every day is a blessing to be, you know, above ground and just, you know, living the dream. And I was like, all right, George, I'm glad to know you're still out there doing what you do. He goes, yeah, me too. I'm glad I have the opportunities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he very, very friendly. Everybody was friendly. You know, BJ's.
What's the dynamic between him and Don? Are they opposite sides of the room or no?
Chatty Cathy's.
Really?
was sitting there talking gear and talking about guitars and pickups and, you know, what car, guitar do you own? And, hey, do you still have the Wolf? And, you know, oh, man, I remember playing that. And the Donna, yeah, I just got rid of this 58 Fender that I had. And, you know, and they're just talking gear. And
All right, wow.
You know, just a couple old buddies, you know.
Who would have ever thought that day would come?
Well, I said that to Taylor. I said, you know, years ago, and not that many years ago, maybe a decade ago, 10 years ago, it wasn't like that. They were still kind of, you know, a little at odds. But now that's all under the bridge, supposedly.
Dude, not even that long ago. When was it that we had Don on the show and he said he wouldn't go find him if he was hiking and got lost?
Well, I think he was just joking about that.
Yeah, but that joke came with a little bit of reality in it. Come on. Let's not kid ourselves here. That joke came with 40 years of reality behind it.
Well, there's still a little bit of sting there.
Yeah.
But they sat there just, you know, yeah, trading gear stories and all kinds of things, you know, and it was just like, it's good. It's all good.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. But, you know, they went on stage after Great White, and I'm telling you what, this Jack Russell, even though he is as broken down mess as he is.
Sure.
This guy, from the time he got off of stage to the time he was down the hallways and coming into the dressing room and just hanging out and, you know, meeting up with everybody and saying hello and everything. This guy would spontaneously burst out into vocal, you know, he would start just wailing, you know, and he is just like spot on, you know, like somebody will be, you know, maybe say a phrase or something like, you know, whatever. And he'll just belt it out singing it. You know, he just was doing that all night long. Just, he'd be just kind of walking down the hallway and just singing a song and just as happy as could be, you know, just as nice as could be. Comes up, he sees me, he goes, oh, it's good to see you again. And he gives me a big hug and, you know, he goes, how are you? He goes, I always glad to see you out here. And, you know, just as nice as could be.
Right.
You know, but he's a character, man. He just, you know, he's got the cane. And even though he doesn't use it on stage, He got the cane in hand and he's just up and down the hallways and stopping in everybody's dressing room and just chatting it up with everyone and just as nice as could be.
Yeah, and it is so weird to see him because you know, you see him and it's just like this fucking old broken dick is not going to be able to do anything. And then he starts singing. And I mean, that voice, everything else may have broken down on Jack Russell, but that vocal is still damn near spot on perfect.
It really is just as sharp as could be.
It's amazing. I saw him right before the pandemic. And I'm telling you, when he came staggering out to the microphone, I was like, oh, Jesus, this is a Phil Collins moment waiting to happen. But man, he started singing and he, you know, perfect pitch, perfect voice. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, as of late, when, you know, Great White and Dokken are on the same bill, his thing is he likes to come out and sing alone again with Don. You know, he comes out and sings one or two of the verses, you know, and they kind of trade off vocals a little bit. So he did that last night. And
okay.
You know, it's always fun to see him come out there and just kind of take a hold of the mic and just, you know, belt out a line or two of the song and then go back. And, you know, it's just like old home week.
Right.
And, you know, the guys are, you know, blowing the rust off a little bit and, you know, getting out there and jamming. And, you know, despite Don's surgery that he had, you know, going on a year and a half ago and his recovery, I'm telling you what, he's been trying to really, really, overcome this. And he was actually out there just kind of like doing a couple of dance steps a little bit, you know, during some of the songs, and he looked like he was just having the best time.
Yeah,
you know, just glad to be out and be able to perform again.
Sure. How is Don's dick beater? Is it coming back to normal or no? Or
a little bit. I mean, he, you know, his left hand is fully recovered except, you know, the strength.
Right.
A little more strengthening. His right hand it's coming back a little bit more than it had. He can pick up a glass now with his right hand. He couldn't even pick up a glass before, but he can pick it up. So it's slowly but surely coming back. But I mean, it's a long, slow recovery.
Day before they put him in the grave, he'll be 100% normal again, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I had to go to his hotel, or in the dressing room rather, and help him get on his compression glove and tie on his bandana, and help him on with his jacket and stuff, and put his in-ear monitors in and things like that. But other than that, he's fairly self-sufficient.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So they played their set, and man, I'm telling you what, regardless of you're a fan of John Levin or not, that guy, he's just freaking amazing. He is so precise, and so just his playing is really just stunning to watch.
Sure. Now I'm curious, does George Lynch watch John play his parts?
No.
He stays away. He avoids.
Well, I don't know that he avoids, because the whole time Dokken was on the stage, George was still in the dressing room just warming up.
Okay.
Because I had to run to the dressing room a couple of times to get drinks for the guys on stage, some water and stuff. And George was still back there just noodling and warming up and, so on and so forth. So, but I don't know that he just doesn't go up there just to avoid, because after the show was over, he and John were just locked into like a major discussion between them, about technique and gear and all these other things. So they get along great. They get along fine.
Well, that's good.
But, the thing is Don wants it very clear, even though George is joining them on stage for the last couple of songs, he can't stress enough to John that you are the guitar player in this band.
Okay.
So I want to showcase you as much as possible. So, they played Too High to Fly last night, and then it was going to be followed up by In My Dreams. And basically Don wanted to give John the spotlight with Too High to Fly, because there was a fairly long guitar solo in that. And man, John came out blazing on that last night. And playing, and then the idea there was to exit the stage and then come back for an encore and do In My Dreams, and then bring George on and do three songs with him,
right?
And give John the opportunity to introduce him and stuff. But it's a little disjointed. The communication was a little disjointed, so Don was like, yeah, I want John to stay on the stage and come out and introduce George and so on and so forth. But I think the dynamic and the communication there was just a little bit off, because it looked a little disjointed, but there's no animosity there at all. Regardless of how you interpret what you think you see on a video,
right?
There's no animosity at all.
You want to see it?
Yeah, let's see it. Because I'm side stage, so I can't see what's going on, from a audience perspective.
All right, well, here we go. I'm going to pop this to full screen. All right, here it is. Turn the mic on.
You having fun so far? Man, what great musicians tonight, what great bands, what great music. I mean, come on, man. I've been waiting for this shit for a year and a half.
Now watch, you can just see John. He doesn't know what to do here.
Oh, yeah, that's what I said. The communication off. I mean, I don't think it was intentional. It was just, I didn't realize you wanted me to stay up here and introduce George.
Well, and if you look, John right now, because I watched this twice because it cracked me up. John's walking toward the mic, but Don took the mic. So there's no mic. John's going toward an empty mic stand.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The communication was off. So yeah, it just kind of looked awkward.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
You too, right? We get a couple gigs like right at the beginning of COVID, and they all got shut down. I just pray that the world's going to get better. I don't like to preach, man, but you haven't got your fucking vaccine. Get off your ass and go get one. Care about what your religious beliefs, whatever, but Come on, man, that shit spreads like fucking herpes. So, we got a little special surprise for you. Don't, John, don't be bothering the man and ready. A piss or something. You ready, Jeff? Hey, first, thank you all so much for coming out tonight. Like, I can't tell you how much it means to us. And this is the first show here tonight, I think, too, after the COVID. So here's to you, man. Thanks for coming out. You guys fucking rock. And you're in for a special surprise because we got one of the greatest of all time here tonight. My personal favorite guitar player. We have George Lynch, who's going to kill it for you right now. Give it to him, George. Come on, give it up for us here. Come on.
How long does George practice at all with BJ to time that up?
No.
Really?
Nope.
Man, he seems like he's like right in tune. I mean, I guess it's a song he's been playing for 40 years, but you know, he really does seem to have that all synced up pretty good.
Yeah, they do a good job, you know, for the nostalgia in the fans. I mean, whether they're, you know, what they were in the heyday and all that, it's, but people just remember the songs.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, there's George Lynch and there's Don Dock and holy shit, look, it's just an amazing moment together.
Don is just going for the total Sam Kinison thing these days, isn't he, with the headband? Yeah. And the jacket and stuff. Jesus.
Yeah, he's just you know, it's a struggle, man. This COVID and this surgery and stuff has really just taken a toll on the guy.
Sure.
You know, but you know, he's got some things going on, trying to get slim back down a little bit and, you know, trying to, you know, get back into shape.
Right. Why doesn't he step down vocal, not step away, but step the register down so that he can hit the notes? Cause I mean, that's, and you know it, dude, that's the complaint everybody has, is that he can't hit the high notes, and legitimately he can't. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to shit on Don. I'm just being honest. He can't hit those notes. But. Well,
the guy's 67 years old.
Oh,
and, you know, here's a Jack and smokes and, you know, all these other things. Yeah, it's taking a toll.
And that's why I'm asking, why doesn't he take it down a step to where he can hit the, because he does take it down a step when he records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he records in a register he can hit.
Right. I mean,
if you listen to the Broken Bones or whatever, he's right in the pocket. You know, but live, he's still trying to do, you know, true, the higher end. He should step everything down so that, and again, I know it's because he doesn't give two fucks, but, you know, it would save him an awful lot of grief if he stepped it down to, you know, if he downtuned to like D or whatever.
Right.
To give him. And it would give the fans a better experience too. Not that I'm, you know, it doesn't seem like the fans are booing or anything.
Oh, but no, they're just happy to be there, you know?
Yeah. I just always wonder, him, Piercy, Vince Neil, you know, all these guys, you know, like you said, they're in their 60s now. Okay, well, step down a step.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to keep, you don't have to be like, wah! You know, you don't have to do that anymore. You could, yeah, you can do, it's the kiss of death, and be, you know, middle of the middle octave instead of the highest. Wah, the kiss of death.
Exactly.
You know, it just would make more sense, but who am I? I'm just a dummy. He's the one that made fucking $30,000 last night, not me.
Exactly. Well, anyway, so the show went on. George came out. Everybody was happy, you know, and, you know, everybody seemed to be just on a high, just happy to, you know, get out and play for a change.
Right.
And so we load back up in the van, head back over to the hotel. Jack caught a ride in our van, and it was, you know, it was BJ and Chris and myself and Taylor and John and Jack and oh, you know who I met the other night too? I don't know if you're from, I know you may know this guy's name, but the drummer and founder of the band Fifth Angel, Ken Mary.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He was there last night.
What? He was also what? In Alice Cooper and stuff, right?
Yeah. He's played with a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was there last night and just kind of hanging out. He was just there just to hang out with Jack. I think he played with Great White last night.
Right.
You know,
did you happen to run into Andrew Freeman of Last?
Oh, well, I know he was there, but I didn't see him.
Yeah, because he stepped in for CJ last night.
He did. CJ was sick, and Andrew stepped in, and, you know, I was looking for him, and I didn't see him. Firehouse guys, they just vamoose as soon as they're done. They just up and out of there.
Yeah, they don't want nothing to do with meeting anybody. They're just like fucking them out.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I did. I knew he was there, but I didn't see him.
Sure, okay.
You know, but so we get over to the back over to the hotel casino, and so the first thing we get out of the because on Dawkins tour rider and everybody's tour rider, they're avoiding the booze, you know.
Really?
Yeah. No Jack, no nothing.
Don?
Yeah, Don.
The fuck is he drinking? Water?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's not doing the booze, you know. He had a beer. That's it. He goes, I don't even like beer, but I'm having a beer, you know.
Right.
And so at the dressing room, they had some Heineken. That's all they had, was just the Heineken.
Okay.
And then so he goes, well, you know, let's go to the bar. So I said, well, come on, let's go. So Jack and Don and I and Taylor, and we head over to the bar. Well, George was already at the bar. Okay. So we're all lined up. There's George, Don, Jack, myself, Taylor. We're just all sitting there at the bar. So right. This lady comes up to me and she goes, hey, are you guys all in a band? And I was just like, we might be. Why? And she goes, well, my young son, who's 13, he saw you guys come in and he can't come into the casino. And he was hoping he could maybe get a picture and autograph. And I said, well, we just got back from the arena over here. These guys are just kind of like cooling down, getting a drink. And, oh, it just means so much to my son if you could come out. And I said, can you just kind of maybe, you know, give us a few minutes? And she, oh no, you know, it's just really important, you know, just make his day. And I mean, on and on and on. I said, listen, I can't speak for these guys. I said, you'll have to ask them themselves. And so I asked Jack, I said, hey Jack, this lady's got a question for you guys. So Jack and Don and Lynch all turn around, and there she starts going, I have a son and he's 13 and he's outside the casino area and he's not allowed in here, and he would just love an autograph and a picture, and it would mean so much, and this and that, and so on and so forth. And so even Lynch had kind of a sense of humor about it. He goes, so what are you asking us to do? What are you asking? And she goes, well, he would really like an autograph and so on and so forth. He goes, so what are you asking us to do? And she goes, are you asking us if we'll go out there? And she goes, well, yeah, kind of. He goes, okay, well, let's go out there. All three of those guys marched out there to meet that one kid. That's nice. No shit. So there's Don, Jack, Lynch, all heading out just to take a picture and give this kid an autograph.
What a bunch of assholes to their fans.
I mean, that was no shit. I was just like, holy cow. You know, so she's leading the way, marching these three rock icons, right, you know, out to meet this kid.
And meanwhile, you can't be bothered. You're like, fuck that. Let these fucking minions go do it. I'm way too important to meet your fucking kid.
Exactly. So we just waited at the bar, and, you know, a few minutes later, they came back.
Nice. You know?
So, of course, while we're at the bar, all these people start milling around there. Oh, Don, Jack, oh, George, I got to get a picture, get an autograph, you know. So, of course, I'm standing there, you know, operating everybody's cell phone and taking the pictures, and I got to get in here and take a photo and so on and so forth. But, you know, they were all cool with it. They signed everything and took pictures. And so this one guy comes up to me and goes, so what is your story? What do you do? I said, oh, I said, I'm just a DJ. And he goes, really? He goes, yeah. I said, what is it? I said, the Classic Metal Show. The Classic Metal Show? Are you shitting me? And I go, yeah. And he goes, is that on the Boneyard? I said, yeah, no. I said, no, it's not on satellite. Oh, is that on the Hair Nation station? I'm pretty sure I know that. I said, it's the Classic Metal Show. So I pulled up the app, and he goes, oh, I know what that is. So he whips out $100 bill and he says, here, sign this.
Should have said, no, I'll sign the napkin and keep the hundy.
So I signed this $100 bill. He goes, it's better spent this way than put in one of these fucking machines out here.
All right.
So he had Don sign it, and Jack and George, and it's just, it's so funny. People are just so silly.
Yeah, they are.
You know,
ooh, I met somebody. Ooh, I don't know who, but I met him.
Right.
I met this guy. Everything I said I thought he did is not what he did, but he signed my $100 bill, so he's cool.
Mm-hmm. So, being that we were in Iowa, Illinois, all the people there, or a good majority of the people there, are your typical blue collar farmhand looking guys.
Right.
They got the chain drive wallet going on. They got the John Deere hat on. They got the pullover shirt with the pocket, with the Pall Malls in the pocket, you know.
Of course, yeah.
Just the typical farm boy looking thing, you know. And of course, you know, it's the whole oh my God, I can't believe I'm standing here talking to Don Dockett, you know, kind of a thing. So it was late, and so the bar, of course, closing down at 1:30. So right. there's really nothing else. So one of the farm boys says, hey, fellas, I got some beer in a cooler in my pickup truck. If you guys want a beer, I got some beer, you know. And so Jack's like, well, I'm down for a beer. How about you, Don? You down for a beer? You know, he goes, let's go. So we went to another part of the hotel area. Yeah. And so we're just kind of standing around shooting the shit. And this, of course, this guy comes down, and he's got all these IPAs and this, like, Miller Lights and all this other shit. He brings all this beer and shit down to this sitting area and starts passing out beers and drinks and everything.
Nice.
So this is when Don and Jack get into high gear.
Okay.
And they start telling stories, and I'm going to, there's a story I can't tell on the air, unfortunately, but I'm going to tell you, there's a certain person who's currently in the other Great White.
Okay.
That, both Don and, Jack have a disdain for, that they do not like as a keyboard player.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. And the things they were saying, it was just off the chain. I was like, holy fuck. both of them. And they were telling all these stories, and they were talking about recording albums, and I played the song My World,
yeah,
from Let It Rock. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't know, but Don actually played the bass tracks on that.
Oh, nice. Who knew that?
I didn't even know that. But yeah, he co-wrote that song, and he played the bass tracks on that.
Wow.
So they were telling all these stories about, you know, different recording different songs. And I was just like, man, if there was like a podcast, these two just, you know, they play off of each other like you and I. You know, they just naturally just back and forth and talking about, you know, recording this record or writing this song. Or because I brought up a song off of Can't Get There From Here called Wooden Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, man, I love that song, you know. And then they talked about how they started it in the studio. And then Jack went over to Don's house and they started penning it out and writing it down and how it all came together. I mean, it was a really cool thing about how they just, you know, worked together and how they just came up with a song and how it even began. And
right, it
was just really funny. But then they started with the road stories and the, you know, the groupie stories and all the debauchery that went on in the buses and stuff. And it was just like, holy fuck, are you guys demented?
Well, dude, everybody I've ever talked to from the 80s always said Great White was the worst. Every single band I've ever talked to said when it came to partying, the hardest partiers and the craziest partying band was Great White. That's what I always heard.
Yeah. So I'm just standing there watching most. I wasn't drinking anything. I'm not a beer guy. And so I was just sitting there watching and listening and, you know, participating a little bit in the conversation here and there. And, you know, all these yokels are standing around just listening with their mouths agape, you know, drinking their beers and, you know, holy fuck, you know, Jesus Christ, we're just standing here, you know, and this guy's telling me about how, oh, I graduated in 80, I think he said 86 or 87. All I wanted to do was go to the Sunset Strip and I had the mullet and I had the Trans Am and I went out to the Sunset Strip and I couldn't believe it out there. And then I kind of came to my senses and came back home to raise hogs and I cut my hair and I never wore a ball cap before until then. Now I wear this hat and he had like a John Deere hat on or some shit, you know.
Big old fingerprint worn into the bill.
he's like, but I still got the Trans Am, you know, and I was just like, oh, fuck. So while I'm standing there, one of the other hillbilly farm boys comes up to me and he comes and shakes my hand. And he goes, who are you? What do you do? He goes, are you in a band? I said, no. He goes, oh, I thought you were like part of Vince Neil's band or something. Why Vince Neil? Yeah, it's like, what do I look like, Jeff Blando or something? He goes, I thought you were in Vince Neil's band.
She said, yeah, I'm Vince.
Yeah. So this other guy comes to me, he goes, so what is your story? He says, you look important as fuck. Important as fuck?
She said, yeah, I'm very important.
It's just like, I don't even know what that means. You look important as fuck.
Dude, you got to start just lying to these guys. Have fun with it. Just, yeah, my name is Eddie. I do a radio show on Sirius XM, Eddie Trunk. Have you heard of me?
Yeah. Well, you're right. I should. It's just, I'm just a little out of practice with it. But man, I'm telling you, these people are just so gullible about everything.
So I'm saying you should give everybody a different name. One guy should think you're Eddie Trunk. The next guy should think that you're Don Dokken. The next guy should think that you're Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
The next guy should think that. I mean, dude, just make up anything. Just find obscure bands too. Say, yeah, I was the bass player for Vinnie Vincent Invasion. You know, just make up some horse shit and they'll be like, oh, really? That's amazing.
Yeah. You know? Well, Taylor said the exact same thing. She says, you should start fucking with these people.
Yeah. And make sure Taylor's got her fucking camera on when you do. Cause that would be great CMS material. If somebody asked, who are you? And you said, yeah, you know, I played drums in Kick Tracy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, both Jack and Don stayed out, hung out with everybody till 5 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Jeez. And Don finally just said, all right, guys, I got to go to bed. I'm done. I got to go to bed. You know,
did they not have a gig that next Saturday?
Well, they were supposed to go to, somewhere in Virginia today, but that for whatever reason, that thing got canceled.
Okay.
You know, so they actually did have another gig to go to, but then it got canceled. So they just flew home today.
Okay.
So, you know, I get up to, you know, I walk because my room was basically just down two rooms down from Don. And I walked them up to the room, you know, and stuff and walk in and they had a 9 o'clock lobby call. And I walk in and he goes, fuck. I go, what? He goes, I got to pack all this shit now. So I started helping him pick up all of his stuff and packing up his bag for him, you know, and getting him, you know, organized
right,
you know, for the morning and so on and so forth, you know. So I went back to bed, went to my room and got up and saw the guys off and so on and so forth. Now, John had a different flight.
Okay.
So they left at 9. By the time I got organized and got myself together and out, Taylor and I drove back like at 11. Okay. So John didn't go to the airport with him because he had a different flight. So I had left and I was out maybe an hour and 20 minutes away, maybe like 100 miles towards Chicago.
Right.
So then I get this text from John. Are you still here? And I said, no, we left about an hour and a half ago. And I said, why, what's going on? He goes, I might be stuck here. So apparently what happened is he went to the airport. He was actually on the plane and they had some kind of mechanical difficulty. So they had to turn back and go to the gate.
Oh,
and apparently that was the only flight out of Moline for like 2 days to where he had to go. So then my phone starts ringing and then it's Frank, the tour manager. And he says, are you still there? And I said, yeah, I just text with John. He goes, can you turn around and go back and get him and take him to Chicago? And I was just like, I'm about 100 miles out already. I don't think I can do that. And he goes, oh, you know, he's stuck there. He might be there for 2 days if we can't get him out of there. So he still might be there for all I know.
Oh, nice.
So just things happen all the time.
Yeah.
There's things you just don't, you know, foresee or even expect to happen. So John might be stuck in Moline right now for all I know.
Oof, that doesn't sound appeasing at all.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you know, he can go play some slots. Or no, John, he'll just sit in his room, watch TV.
Well, we ought to text him and see if he's still there.
Yeah, text him up.
Let me text him real quick. See, and I'll see if he wants to come on the show.
Say, hey, are you stuck in Moline, sir? Yeah.
Let's see. Are you still stuck in Moline? All right, let's see if he answers me.
Yeah.
So he's just like, well, you know, if you could go back and get him, that would help out a lot. I was just like, you know, I'm already, you know, too far out.
Yeah. Why didn't he go back and get him?
Because they took off and the funny thing is that their connectors were into Chicago. Like they flew from Moline to Chicago. Then BJ and Chris caught their flight from Chicago to like Boston because okay. They live up in the Northeast. And right. Then Don had to catch his flight from Chicago to Phoenix and then from Phoenix to Santa Fe.
Okay. Geez.
Yeah. And then Frank, he had to go from Chicago to Nashville.
So they literally just meet in the middle of it, but they're all over the fucking place.
Well, Moline isn't like a big hub or anything. So you have to catch the small little, you know, jet.
Yeah. The up and down plane, the plane that goes up and comes right back down.
Exactly. So yeah, it's not all fun and games on the road, man. It's just, you just run into problems and things. And it's just like, I was just happy to, you know, that I was in the position to help John the first time.
Right.
You know, to get him to the gig, but then to have him get stuck on the plane and not be able to get out of there today was just like, oh my God.
You were like, what the fuck, dude? I'm not a cabbie anymore.
But of course, I'm always glad to help. But needless to say, it was a fun little adventure and seeing everybody and catching up with everybody. But Jack Russell is going to be putting out a new a second Great Zeppelin album.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I told him, you know, well, when you're ready to, you know, do your promotion and come on, we'd love to have you on. Oh, come on, brother. I'd love to come on, you know. So. He played a little bit of it for us, you know, a couple of the songs and, you know, sounded as good as the first one.
I don't care what anybody says. That is 100% the best cover album that's ever been done.
I agree.
The first Great Zeppelin is the best cover album that has ever been recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah. So, you know, regardless if you're fans or not, or if you, these guys suck, you know, they don't sound like they used to, you know what? The spirit is still there and they were just having a lot of fun and it was fun to see them and, just get along and treat the fans the what, you know, just went out of their way to be as friendly as can be. Now see Don's right hand. He's right handed. So his right hand is almost partially paralyzed.
Right.
So he can't hold a pen or a marker and stuff and sign autographs very well.
Right.
But somehow he's managed to learn how to sign an autograph using his right hand, you know, as you know, paralyzed as it is. So these kids came up as we were walking out of the hotel to go to the show. They had this whole stack of docking photos and shit. Oh boy. And they come out, Don, can we get some, you know, autographs and stuff? And he goes, well, my hand's kind of paralyzed. And they got this stack of stuff. And he goes, I'm not going to sign all those. He says, I'll sign two a piece, but that's it. You know, hey, whatever you can do, man, whatever you can do. I'll be damned if he didn't go through and sign every one of them fucking pictures. And then they had these pick guards that, you know, they put on the body of a guitar. Mm-hmm. And they had a stack of pick guards like that. He said, I'm not signing all those. He said, I'll sign a couple of them, which he did. And he said, I'm not signing that whole stack, you know, but he went through and signed every one of those goddamn pictures with his, I held them for him. And then he was able to put his left hand on top and steady the pen and actually, you know,
jeez.
And it looks just like his autograph.
Right.
You know, so somehow he was able to do it. But even these guys that are being excessive with the autographs, he was still nice to all those guys and signed everything.
Yeah. You know what? At this point, he really needs to have his manager, i.e. you,
say, yeah,
look, fuckwad, one thing. You know, that's not, honestly, and that's always been a problem with shows. The guy that shows up with a box of shit needs to be punched in the face.
I agree. You know,
I mean, it's like, dude, if you're getting one thing signed, it's because you're a fan.
Right.
If you're getting 50 things signed, it's because you're an obsessive compulsive, a stalker or a eBayer.
Well, that's what Don said. He says, he goes, I'm not going to have you making money off of me. No, Don, I swear to God, this is just a trading thing between me and my friends and blah, blah, blah. And I said to the kid, I said, come on, what are you really doing with these? Yeah. No, I swear. It's just a trading thing. You know, if somebody has like a Jeff Tate thing, I'll trade it for a docking thing and blah, 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 you know, whatever.
So you're still giving him product. You're giving him product to fucking move.
Yeah.
No, fuck off.
Yeah.
You want 10 things signed? Come to 10 fucking shows. And you can get one signed at each show.
Yep.
Fuck that. Don should be like, no, I'm signing one thing.
Yeah.
And he's got a fucking, you know, he's basically signing with a fucking broken hand.
Yeah, more or less.
Enough. You know, one is more than he should do.
Yep.
He ought to put an X. Shh, done. Out.
Well, again, that's just as cordial as he could be about it. I mean, he wasn't, he did it and he was just like, hey dudes, you know, I normally wouldn't do this, but he did it for those guys, you know, for whatever reason. And, you know,
at this point with Don's hand, the way it is, it would not be even rude if he said, look, I'll take a photo with you, but I'm not signing anything.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't sign stuff anymore. You've had 45 fucking years to get your shit signed. If you didn't get it signed by now, fuck off.
Right.
You know, I mean, really, I mean, how long has Doc been a band? 40 years?
Yeah, 40 years.
So 40 years, you've missed the opportunity, but now after 40 years, now's your time to get 31 albums signed. Get the fuck out of here. Too late, asshole.
Yeah, I get you. But that pretty much wraps up the whole, you know, little whirlwind 2-day thing, but I'm telling you, just hanging out with Jack and Don and listening to those two, sure. It was like a nonstop back and forth. You just telling stories and they were telling, Jack was telling jokes and shit and mm-hmm. just cracking us up. He goes, yeah, I'm like really funny.
Yeah, apparently.
he was just hysterical, man. But yeah, just it's just funny to hear those two tell those war stories. It's just sure. unbelievable.
It's funny.
And then just as Don was, you know, going to his room, he kind of put his arm around two of the guys that were kind of hanging out there talking. He goes, "And just for the record, guys, all the stories you heard here tonight, total bullshit." So that was it.
That's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, that kind of wraps up my little saga.
All right.
So, since we're talking about the Great Zeppelin.
Sure.
Do you have a song off of that you'd like to hear?
Dude, just pick one. They're all great.
Yeah.
Pick a long one so that I have time to go do my editing shit.
Okay, well, I'm going to play a few songs, but yeah, I thought maybe we'd play, here, I'll give you your choice.
All right.
In the Light, Livin' Lovin' Maid, Ramble On, Since I've Been Loving You, No Quarter.
Since I've Been Loving You.
All right.
I've Been Loving You is a great tune.
All right. All right, well, we're going to play a few tunes. We'll come back. There's a new Great White, Great Zeppelin in the works, or actually it's done. It'll be, out soon. Yeah. So here's something from the first one. This was actually a live recording, and most of it was recorded at, and Jack was telling us the story about this too. This was recorded at the Galaxy in Santa Ana, Orange County. And then another portion of it was like recorded in Bakersfield, California.
Cool.
So, yeah, he was telling us the whole backstory. And so there's a new one on the way with more Zeppelin.
Very good.
All right. Well, here it is. It's Great White covering some Led Zeppelin with Since I've Been Loving You from the Great Zeppelin release exclusively here
on your Classic Metal Show.
This is Jeff.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the Classic Metal Show. Get all of our episodes uncensored at www.theclassicmetalshow.com. Join us weekly from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. Eastern at www.cmsradio.net. Participate in the live chat room at www.chatandkill.com. Once again, thank you for checking out The Classic Metal Show with Neely and Chris. Hail and kill. Fuck you, pal. Ninja!